Good afternoon.
Yes, afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon to Mr. John Stout. Good afternoon to the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, Mr. Wickham, I made a contribution on the topic, does God accept all worship?
Mm-hmm.
And I made a promise to come today, Thursday, to help interested ones recognize true worship. True worshipers of God represent, respect the Bible and its teaching. They strive to live by its principles. True religion differs from religion based on man's ideas. They do not preach one thing and practice another. For example, in 2018, we had a general election where there were different political parties. And in each of these parties, they had members professing to be of the Christian faith. Would you say they were united? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, it says there, "Now I urge you, brothers, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you should all, one, speak in agreement, truth, two, and that there should be no divisions among you, and three, but that you may be completely united in the same mind and the same line of thought." That is what the Bible says, according to Scripture. When you read that, would you be saying that they are practicing what they preach? I do not think so. That the listeners to believe. Another point of interest is that true worshipers of God do not partake in the nation's warfare. Again, I will give you another example. In 1981, they had some wars between religious nations. Where war went to war. And they were blessed by the clergy. What does the Bible say about wars? First, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15 reads, "And when you spread out your palms, I hide my eyes from you. Although you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are filled with blood." True worshipers of God, or who respect the Bible, do not join in war. Do not practice war, and do not get involved in war. Another point of interest also is, Mr. Wickham, they do not involve themselves in social unrest, such as marches, holding hands, singing solidarity songs, holding placards with various slogans. Neither do they get involved in burning flags, effigies, fighting with red police, with tear gas, etc. According to the Bible, at John chapter 13, verse 34, it says there, "I am giving you a new commandment, that you have love among yourselves, that people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love among yourselves." There is no way in the world that you can have love among yourselves and you are practicing true worship and you are shooting at your brother, which is of the same faith in a different country. I will conclude by saying, persons might wonder, what do true worship have to do in these things? John chapter 17, verse 3 says this, "This means everlasting life. They are coming to know you, the only true God, and the one you sent forth, Jesus Christ." So if there is a true God, there have to be a false God. Thank you, Mr. Wickham.
Okay, thank you, sir, for calling. We take a break and come right back. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. No sooner than the Tony Wiggins put down the telephone, apparently some lady, some kind lady, brought ketchup for him. a decent size quantity too. So radio works. I agree with you entirely, Tony. Even if it works in your not in your best interest, as in the case of the ketchup, because I do feel that the opportunity to leave out ketchup for a while is a blessing. But I'm happy that you got your ketchup, and I'm also happy that radio works so that people listen to StarCom. So whenever we put out requests for other things that might be important, I hope that people respond in similar vein to that. Good afternoon and welcome to the program. You're on the air. Right, someone is asking about the gentleman who called just now, about faith healers and if they are worshiping and healing the sick from a biblical perspective. I chosen not to respond to that caller for obvious reasons. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, sir, how are you doing?
Yes, I'm cool. I'd like to ask a question. I get any information about the people that was dismissed due to coronavirus and the NAS, right?
Right.
I get any misinformation. You see, I used to work at a company, private company. I wasn't there a year yet. I was there like, 11 months. Mm-hmm. And before that, I used to work somewhere that I wasn't in the end job, so I wasn't paying the NAS. So I want to know, I went to NAS to see if I could get anything back because I was laid off because of the corona. Mm-hmm. And they told me that because I wasn't giving any NAS a year in front, I can get anything. But then when someone told me, oh, that the Prime Minister was talking about something and they said that we can go to the NAS and get something, but I lost. I don't know what's on it.
No, my understanding is that if you're contributing to national insurance, you can get benefits, and the benefits may be extended and manipulated under the current circumstances, but I am not understanding how you would not be contributing but expect to receive something.
Right, but I contribute for about 10 months, 11 months.
Right, but if the minimum number of months you're supposed to contribute is 12?
I ain't sure.
I don't know. I'm not an expert on the issue, but my understanding is that if you didn't qualify before, I don't see how you could qualify now. Especially since that, how long ago was that?
I was working for last year.
Right. So how long ago have you been unemployed?
Me, recently now?
Yeah.
From last week, Thursday.
And when you were working back in the job that you were in up until last week, Thursday, were you making contributions?
Yeah.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Okay. It was taking up my money, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there's somebody that you can call and ask a question. I'm not sure.
I try about people telling me, one body telling me yes, then when they go on there, somebody else telling me no. So I just, you know, I take a call and ask and see what's going on.
Yeah, but I'm probably not the best person to ask because I'm not as familiar with these matters as I could be. You need to ask a question at National Insurance. My sense is that if you weren't entitled before, I would be surprised if you're entitled now.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? If you were entitled before Corona, I would be surprised if you're entitled now. Because the only way we can keep a control on this thing is if we establish, you know, for people who are eligible, we establish their eligibility based on contributions that they would have made before.
Yeah.
All right.
That caller before me, AC, you know, you believe it, but go paying attention to someone in quarters call. Them is only cherry picky, but right, take out certain things, they won't follow a thing, right? So I just be laughing at them.
Cherry picking. I don't laugh though. I don't like to laugh. I don't laugh on nobody's faith.
The reason why you laugh at them, right?
Yeah.
Joe is coming to me, tell me one thing. Savvy event is coming to me, tell me one thing. And when they start to read the Bible, them is run. I don't know why. Because it's really things that they don't want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, so.
All right, sir.
All right, thanks.
Thank you for calling, and I hope that you're able to get some resolution to that matter. Donna Brastacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon, welcome. You're on the air, 4341790. Good afternoon.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Ma'am. Yes, ma'am, go right ahead.
Could you hear me, Peter?
I'm hearing you perfectly, ma'am. Please go ahead.
Okay. Probably I didn't hear some calls before. I wanted to find out those with disability from the NIS. Yes, there's the check that you can change now, but next month, April, the time that the check is to come, there are holidays in between there. So I just wanted to find out from someone from National Insurance if they could just verify if then the check, how did, if the check would be coming out, or if it would be coming out earlier.
Are you entitled to receive an electronic payment from NAS? Yes, you are.
I think so.
Right. Do you think that this would perhaps be a good time for you to have that arranged so that you can start to receive your monies electronically? And the question of checks and cashing them or whatnot would be irrelevant because you would receive it electronically? Do you have a credit union account?
No, I don't.
Do you have a bank account?
I have an empty bank account.
Right. Well, maybe you could arrange for them to put something in it every month?
It's so small that it, because it's disability money, but it's so small that I don't know. I need every penny from it.
Right. So what I'm suggesting to you is that if you're concerned about bank charges, notwithstanding the fact that you already have a bank account, maybe you could open a credit union account, and that way you don't have those charges, and that way you would also get your money every month without the need for you to pick up a check and take a check anywhere to cash and be concerned about time, closing times and opening times.
Being slightly disabled, well, not slightly, having some chronic illnesses then. One is the walking.
Yeah. Who currently collects and cashes your checks for you?
I do that myself.
You collect the checks and
pain
you cash them yourself?
Pain going and pain coming. Yes, I do.
So you are able to get to the, well, of course the post office brings it, but you're able to get it to, where do you cash it, at the supermarket?
No, I cash it at Republic Bank in Vody.
You actually go into the bank and deposit a check?
I usually go in there and change it.
Ma'am, I think honestly direct payment would be a godsend for you. I honestly think that would be the best thing for you. Because if you receive your money electronically, then you don't have to go anywhere near a bank. You basically just go and spend your money at the supermarket or wherever using the direct payment system. Are you sighted or you're not sighted?
Yeah, I'm very sighted.
You're sighted?
Yes, right. I am.
No, but ma'am, if you're sighted, then I think that is the best thing for you. There are sections of the NAS that deal with that process. I've actually been through it myself on behalf of relatives, and it's really quite easy. You complete a form, and you take the form to the bank, and it's all over. So I think that should be your task for next week, to go and get that sorted out, and that way you would start receiving your payments from National Insurance electronically.
Okay.
I honestly don't think someone with a disability have any right in a bank every month. You know?
I did it before,
mm-hmm.
But sometimes, like, I had to wait so long. There were just different things that I decided about. Okay, I prefer that every 2 weeks of it come in to the house.
Ma'am, that's not the way to be operating in this era. For someone who has no disability, to go in the bank every month is unconscionable. For someone like yourself that has a disability, it's even more unconscionable. So the idea of you going to Republic Bank to cash a check every 2 weeks is just not something that needs to be happening in 2020. So let's get that organized. If you need assistance, I'm sure there's someone in the disabilities unit that can assist you in getting it done. As I say, you complete a form, you take the form to the bank, and, you know, or alternatively, when you go into National Insurance, take a copy of your bank statement, right? They just need the top part. You go in and complete the documentation, and I'm sure that will be the last journey that you will need to make in this regard for a long time. And you can spend your days doing something else more interesting, like calling and talking to me on Brass Talks.
I listen to you on Brass Talks.
Well, there we go. So that's a better way to spend time than to stand up in a bank in a lane. I can't think of anything more horrible than to stand up in a bank in a lane. Is it cruel and unusual punishment?
When you're going back to France, I would like to go with you.
Maybe we can arrange that too after the corona is finished.
After that is completely finished, I would love to go to France.
France is a very disabled-friendly place, I must tell you. I'm always fascinated.
Well, I can walk and I can see, but I have other chronic illnesses,
No, it's a place that is very geared for the disabled in many ways. So that would be a welcome visit. All right, Mom.
Okay, thank you.
All right, but and in terms of your other issue, I'm sure that if there's a question of holidays, they will adjust the mail-out date accordingly. National Insurance is very sensitive to this issue now. But I think that your problem is a larger one, and I think it is something that requires a longer-term solution. Everyone who can avoid receiving a check from National Insurance needs to do that now, because the less checks they have to write, the more seamless this process is going to be. And as I said, it will save you time, and it will save you the stress of going to stand up in a lane in the bank.
So right, then that's when you're able, like I pay rent, so that means I would have to get a card in order to withdraw them from
ATM. You don't have a bank card?
I can't remember how to look. I think I do.
Whoa. So you go to the bank every month, you deposit, change checks, and you don't have a bank card?
No, I don't deposit. I just go to change it.
Okay. No, well,
if I deposit it, I have to take it right back out.
We need to get a bank card, either that or alternatively a checkbook. If you need cash monthly and you can get to the bank, there's no reason why you can't have a bank card that can facilitate those withdrawals.
I don't have money like you, Peter.
No, but Mama, that's why I was proposing you go to a credit union. It's just that I was thinking in terms of saving time. But
yes,
if you go to a credit union, that way you get all of your money and you don't pay charges. And I think it's a wiser option, especially for someone who is not receiving money on a monthly basis and so on. You really don't need to get into a relationship with the bank. So the credit union would be the thing for you. It's just that it's another journey that you have to engage. So instead of one journey to National Insurance, now you need to make two. One to the credit union and then one to the National Insurance.
Okay, I'll look into it. Thank you.
Okay, take care. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Dr. Brastatz, 434-1790. Peter, unemployment benefits are not eligible for direct back deposit facility. This lady wasn't talking about unemployment benefit, though, ma'am. She was talking about a disability benefit. And my presumption is that it is a disability benefit she will be receiving for the long term, since her disability doesn't seem to be anything that will go away next month. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, afternoon, Miss Undecided. How are you there?
I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
I'm great.
Okay.
So your boy Arthur gone long?
Yeah, I'm just calling to send condolences to Arthur's family. Yeah. And I want you to say hello to your husband for me, too. I can't stay long.
All right, I will do that. No, I will do that because I was about to say that Arthur's a damn like you.
Oh, Lord, no.
He decided. Right, but he decided.
Look, Arthur was very good. I used to back me up on. And I love him. One of my favorite callers,
too. And I hope I'm one of your favorite moderators.
Yes, Peter. Right. Remember to tell your husband here.
I will be sure to tell my husband that you say your regards.
Are you going to give him a kiss for me too?
Well, whenever next I see him. Because it doesn't look as though he's going to be in a hurry.
Oh, he overseas?
He's in France, yes.
But you aren't going up there, no.
I can't. I was supposed to have been going, but I can't because everybody on lockdown.
We don't want you bring back nothing down here.
Or me carrying anything out there. Because them concerned about what I might bring in. unfortunately, we are being forced to endure a long period of separation as a result of this virus. But, you know, this too will pass.
Yes.
But yeah, man, I'm sorry to hear about Arthur. Arthur was a good guy. And I know he and you had a good thing going in terms of him. He used to back you up. All y'all used to fight against me all the time, but that's no problem.
No, Peter. Yeah. Anyhow, you have a good day, all right?
All right, thanks a lot, Miss Undecided. Good to hear from you. All the best to you as well. This is Dr. Brastatz, 434-1790. Remember, you can also WhatsApp us on 266-IVOB. Good day, Peter. Trust you're keeping well. Why do Bajans are so obsessed with going into the bank and cashing checks? As a banker, it always baffles me. And I have to admit, it always baffles me too. I don't get it. You often see people going into a bank and cashing a check. I think a lot of people, it is a social activity, and it is something that they look forward to doing every month that they do business. I always think that for me, if I have time like that on my hands, I would much prefer to go and sit down in a coffee shop or something and relax, or go and eat a roti or something like that. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good. I'm good.
Okay, great. No, I'm calling in connection with a subject matter that came up last week, which was the obviously the cost of goods being increased. What a lot of folks don't really know or understand about the shipping side of things is that the shipping line several years ago, when oil went to $140 a barrel, they increased their rate. But when it came back down, they never decreased the rate. Never decreased the rate. Now, last year, we had a letter from Tropical Shipping saying that they would increase port charges here, which would rise about $50 per 20-foot container and $100 for a 40, coming from a number of countries, and none of those countries represented here includes Trinidad. So only the increase from Puerto Rico, Canada, British Virgin Islands, Dominican Republic, I mean, this goes on right down to Guyana, but it does not include our good friends from Trinidad. However, the letter has come out again from, again, Tropical Shipping, advising that the cost will go up again for the port charges. And about twice a year, we also get letters from the shipping lines that they're going to increase document fees and everything. So everyone is just saying that, importers and so on are price gouging, when indeed, in truth, it is the shipping lines that is doing the price gouging. Even though, as today, we see oil prices at below $30 a barrel and gas at the pumps in the United States of America at 99 cents a gallon, that has not been reflected throughout the Caribbean, with the exception of Grenada. They've actually dropped their electric bills by 50% to their clients.
Yeah, I'm listening to you, sir.
So by doing that, it means that we are still taking the increase. And when the increase comes, what does one do with the increase? Do you pass it on? Do you absorb it? How long can you absorb it for before somebody says, "Wait, oh, my price erosion."
Well, regarding the question of oil, I think it has a lot to do with shipments. And certainly at this rate, our next shipment of oil should be considerably cheaper. And one can assume that maybe when the prices go up elsewhere, they will now be reflected in a downturn here. Because ultimately, you're not paying for the current prices, you're paying for the past. That's the best explanation I can give to the whole question of the oil price in Barbados. The other points you're making, though, about price gouging, they don't seem unreasonable. It's just that I'm not sure what can be done.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. As a joint nation or importers and manufacturers and so on, they should be fighting this increase in port charges, as well as trying to negotiate with shipping lines for a more reasonable rate, because obviously if you haven't brought down your shipping prices since oil was $140 a barrel and it's now under 30, somewhere along the line, the gouging is happening with the shipping line and they're trying to cover some shortfalls, I think. But like most people, they have to take the list that everybody else is taking, and they're going to take more with the present lockdown and whatnot.
Sir, points are well taken. We really have a lot to think about when this whole matter is over. But issues like the ones that you have raised, I think, will take second place now to the level of reorganization that takes place in the world. And maybe that will become part of it. And I can only hope. All right, sir, thank you for your call. I believe I'm being told by John that we need to take a break. Yeah, we do. All right, so we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we continue with Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. I understand that we're joined for the remainder of the program by the lady who should be in this seat today, Jayan Haig.
Well, I see you've kept the Thursday standards high. Lisa will be proud as well.
Thank you.
You did not disappoint.
I try as best I can, but certainly your feminine charm would bring a different flavor to things. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you, and thank you for sitting in for me. Yeah. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I want to bring some feel-good news, though. Mm-hmm. At least I think we need some. Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago on the program, I'd mentioned a tree planting project, and I have permission to only mention this once.
Okay.
Anything after that will be an ad. Mm-hmm. But we spoke about the tree planting initiative, and it started in January, and Inatech Group of Companies had sponsored it by putting in a significant amount of money to purchase some trees so we can plant around the country. unfortunately, we know COVID has arrived, and we need to change how we do things. So, and that's the bad news. But the good news is that we'll continue the project at an individual level, household level, where we will deliver the tree now free of charge to as many households as possible. A little over 3,000 we're going to do to start. Of course, they do have to send some information to a WhatsApp number, 266-TREE, 266-TREE. That is 266-8733. Once they send us a proof of address by maybe a bill and tell us your tree preference, we will deliver the tree. So it's a contactless delivery, still observing the social distancing that is required. And we would want people to get on board because these are fruit trees. And it's something to do while you're home and the kids are home. And we're hoping that people will send their information and let's get some trees being planted, you know, in the backyards of individuals. We're also going to be doing some variety trays for the most vulnerable. And a variety tray will have things like a row of lettuce, sweet pepper, tomatoes, and we'll also drop them off at your doorstep. So it's a case of pulling up, beeping a horn, here's a tree, bye, and next, and next, and next. And then, of course, we would like them to take a picture or do a video of planting the tree and go on to the Facebook page of the National Tree Planting Project. And if they're successful, they can win $220 by just being at home looking after these trees. So that's the feel-good story that I am hoping that people will feel a little bit different, even if it's just for an hour, and get this whole COVID thing off their minds. Because me personally, and I spoke to you earlier this week, Peter, overwhelmed, scared, but still trying to be brave and do what we have to do to protect ourselves. We, by extension, protect each other.
Okay. Well, that's excellent news, Joyanne. And when you told me about the project earlier this week, I was excited. And I was happy, as you said, that someone can change the tone of conversation and look towards something that we could do. So we basically just have to WhatsApp to a number. You're giving us the number now, or that will
be? Yeah, 266. Well, I'll just do it now, and sure. Then he repeats will be 266-TREE. That's 266-TREE.
Oh,
that
easy.
Actually works out to be 266-8733. So you just make it simple, and you do it that way. And on another front, well, maybe you can get another call because I may not stay for the whole duration. You and I mentioned about debt. And we talked about that, and I wanted to touch on that because people are, it's about life and livelihood and what do you choose first. But remember, we both said that we're all in this together. The whole world is going to be in debt. So who are we going to owe? Aliens? You know, we're not going to owe aliens. Somebody obviously will have to help out. And I'm sure the whole IMF setup moving forward, and I think you called it a reset. Actually, those are your words to me. Yeah, you said it probably would be a reset, and that might not be a bad thing. I'm sure there are a lot of countries that are in debt that wouldn't mind some sort of level of debt forgiveness. And if that happens, I would like to believe that that would be transferred on to individuals by way of taxing and debts and so on and so forth, that we all would get a reset by extension. But I think the key is just to stay alive long enough to enjoy that by listening to the rules, practicing social distancing. And there are a lot of things going around where some people are being really irresponsible. And I'm hoping not to see that type of behavior here in Barbados. I don't know if you've seen some of these videos.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Of some youngsters, 18 years old. There was a group of teenagers that actually went up to some old people in England and coughed in their face and so on and so forth. And this is really hard to watch. And I think that they need a little bit more sensitizing. And after this, I actually said that it would make a good argument for birth control with some of these individuals because, no, but true. I mean, sometimes when you see the behavior, it's a case of maybe saying to parents, we need to spend more time disciplining and teaching our children because I'm seeing more of that behavior. Right. It's almost like when Trump won the election, you saw racism raising its ugly head. Now with COVID, you're seeing people who don't exercise good judgment, more of it than ever before.
Okay.
So I want to thank you for sitting in, and be safe, and we'll chat soon.
Hang on a second, though, because someone is asking about what kinds of fruit trees are there. I know you
told me
that.
There are going to be a variety of trees when you go onto the site. We're going to upload the types of trees. But I can tell you from the top of my head, breadfruit, we have guava trees, it's going to cherry trees. So it's going to be a variety of fruit trees, some regular, some dwarf trees that we will be delivering. So, of course, you send us your tree preference. It may not, you might not get what you asked for, all depending on the stock.
Okay. So the number is 266-TREE. 266-TREE.
You WhatsApp. Tell them not to call because they're calling the number.
Right.
It's
okay.
A WhatsApp. No. Just WhatsApp. Don't
WhatsApp
call.
266-TREE. Right?
Correct.
So let's be clear. 266-TREE, you're WhatsApping. You're giving your preference and your location.
And a proof of address.
And a proof of address. And
by way of taking a picture of a bill.
Okay.
Yeah?
So picture of a bill. Emailed, WhatsApp to 266-TREE.
Which is 268-733, if they don't know what that spells out.
Right.
Yes.
And Joanne, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you too, Peter.
Okay,
thank you.
Care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Right. I have a couple of people who are messaging. One person said that they are amazed. Oh, sorry. Peter, it's horrifying that all these senior citizens are sitting at home waiting for checks in 2020. Peter, if you're a baby boomer, you can teach or show your parents how to bank electronically. What's the issue with all the other children not showing their elderly parents how to bank more efficiently? It's a crying shame. I hope it's not because they're also digitally ignorant, a sad indictment on a country boasting high level of literacy. Check processing is expensive, wasteful, and it is killing the country. Another person says that, Peter, people with disabilities don't have to stand in line at the bank. There are facilities in place at banks to accommodate persons with disabilities. The point is, disabled people should not have to go to the bank, period, because you can do an electronic deposit. Good afternoon and welcome. We are on 52 minutes past the hour of one, so we have a couple of calls remaining, and let's see if we can get all of them in. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm calling. You have a number that you can, for the disabled people that will get help, because I have a friend that in a wheelchair, so she wants the number so that she could call to get some help.
Call the National Disabilities Unit. I don't know the number, but I'm sure if you do a quick Google search, Barbados National Disabilities Unit, you will see a number that they can call and get whatever assistance may be needed. So
okay.
There's a disabilities
next
unit.
Thing,
yeah, sure.
Yeah, next thing is that I'm asking about. I heard they said that the virus hit, hooking on upon the calling thing. So if the news, the things to come, to stop the call, that can't stop the virus too?
Well, my understanding is that if you believe that you may be ill with mild symptoms of the virus, that the treatment that you would use for regular cold and flu, like paracetamol and so on, would be the same treatment that would be recommended. But I would suggest you call the COVID hotline at 526.
No, I just only asking a question.
I know, but no, I'm saying that it's medical advice you're seeking, and I'm not the person for that. So
536-4500. 4500.
Right, and they will tell you what you need to do if you are afflicted with symptoms and certainly what course of action you can follow.
Okay,
thank you so much, ma'am. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter. I've got Speed Talk Raul here.
Hey, Raul, how you going?
I'm going good, and you?
I'm great, man, I'm great.
Okay, you're washing your hand.
My train. Well, I'm using sanitizer because I'm not washing in the studio.
Okay.
Every 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's with some profound regret that I learned early this morning. Someone called me and indicated me the passing of caller Arthur. Mm-hmm. I want to extend sincere condolences to his family, his immediate friends, family, and all his loved ones, and all the radio fans. Arthur, you will be sorely missed. The program will be really pouring out for the passing of Arthur. We've just had Rashid, now Arthur. Mm-hmm. You know, it is touching. So,
yeah, it is indeed.
All right. Another quick call. If an employer has to go and pay court support for an employee, why would they have to wait 2-3 hours at the court and delay all the good quality time to just pay? You understand the child support? And it's an employer that has a myriad of things to do. This bureaucracy and red tape. I mean, Ms. Molly's trying her best. And they're trying to revolutionize the system, and some things never seem to come right.
When you say an employer is paying child support, the employer has to withhold it from the paycheck.
Uh-huh.
I'm asking.
The employer has to pay it to the court. It is taken out at the workplace.
Oh, I see. And then the employer has to pay it to the court, so the court can pay it to the person.
Yeah. And the thing is that if not paid, because of the court delay and thing, the person could be arrested.
Yeah. No, the mechanism needs to be streamlined. Yeah,
it needs to be streamlined. Here,
yeah. But, it needs to be streamlined. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I'm hearing something about the bank, they're making a river, but they say you still have to pay the interest. Look, the information coming out need to be very, very definitively clear. Mm-hmm. Definitively clear and make one set of instructions.
The problem is that you can't give a bank instructions. What we're doing is we're asking the banks to make special arrangements. But I think all banks have different ways of dealing or responding to the crisis.
Well, each bank should come out. What needs to, a lot of communication necessary now. Each bank should come out and put their protocol and their perspective and make so that when you think, when you move, you know, bank A is so-and-so, bank B is so-and-so, bank C is so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman's talking about Gojin, and I abhor Gojin with a passion, and he was right. This Gojin is still a fact in Barbados, and I'm always on to price control and prices and social issues. So Gojin is a fact of life, and ridiculous, unscrupulous people do it every second of the day. They need to be put in their place as regarding such. Right. I regard you, Mr. Baker.
All right, Ross, thanks a lot. Let's see if we can get the last call in. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air, 434-1790. Good afternoon.
The first thing it needs is some more ATMs across Barbados so it can facilitate those persons who have cards. Because some people have to go to the bank still. The same bank that we're talking about. To cash to swipe the machine to get the money to go and pay their rents and pay their various other things, not necessarily the supermarket, but they still got to go to the bank to get a card to get that money. The other thing, quickly, because I know you're getting so close, is that one has got to be careful when you give assistance to the visually impaired and the blind. You normally hold the elbows. That's the way how to go about it, so you can lead them properly. So you have to be very careful, those persons who are giving that kind of help, for this thing called sneezing in the elbow. Because you sneeze in the elbow, and the blind or visually impaired person lashes onto your elbow as they're walking, you know the visuals can be transferred to them very quickly.
I understand that, but I think you got it wrong, though. When a person is visually impaired, you are supposed to offer them your elbow. You're not supposed to hold their elbow. And that's an important point, that someone who's visually impaired,
I know from experience that...
That's not the way I understand it. And I had a visually impaired relative, and I was always told, let them hold you don't hold them. Let them hold your elbow. But you don't hold their elbow, because when you do that, you're inclined to push and pull them, and that's not what you want to do. You offer assistance, so you give them your elbow, and then they follow your lead.
I understood it the other way, but because then they step down.
I think you got it wrong.
Going down, I do go down with them.
All right, when you step down and they're a step behind you, they can feel you moving and they will respond accordingly. So that's the reason why you offer them your elbow, because that's probably the most sensitive way that they can feel you moving around and they can follow your dictate, your lead. So, but your point is made, though, that ultimately if you sneeze in your elbow and then you offer it to somebody that's disabled, and you're defeating the whole purpose. So if you are going to help the disabled, you got to keep your elbows clean and sanitized. Okay. All right, sir, I want to thank you for your call. We had a very busy and hectic program today. I enjoyed being with you on Thursday.